Hello. Welcome to Options Talk with OIC. I'm Joe Burgoyne, Director of Retail Marketing for the Options Industry Council, and I'll be your host for this podcast series. OIC was created in 1992 to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. We offer a variety of resources to those interested in learning more about options, including live seminars, webcasts, and podcasts. Here are a couple ways to stay in touch. You can become a fan of OIC on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at options_EDU, and join our group OIC on LinkedIn. Last week, we talked about vertical call and put spreads and provided an example of a bull spread through to expiration. Today, we're going to continue our conversation on the topic of bull and bear spreads. But before we get started, let me state that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting www.optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. To keep things simple, commissions, fees, margin interest, and taxes have not been included in the examples used in this podcast. Multiple leg strategies involve multiple commission charges. These costs will impact the outcome of all stock and option transactions and must be considered prior to entering into any transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential tax consequences. None of the information presented in this podcast should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. So, let's welcome back our guests. Back to the conversation on bull and bear spreads. We've got Russell Rhodes, CFA, and an instructor at the Chicago Board Options Exchange. Russell, thanks for coming back.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me back.
And again, from OIC's call center, we've got Bill Ryan, a senior specialist for investor services at the Options Clearing Corporation. Welcome back to you too, Bill.
Thanks for having me back, Joe.
Last week, we defined bear and bull call spreads, which are also known as vertical call and put spreads. We closed out the conversation with a discussion about how bull put spreads work through expiration. If you want to hear that example, please be sure to check out last week's podcast. Now, following up on that, a question today to Russell is how a bear put spread works through to expiration. Russell?
Sure. The bear put spread involves selling a lower strike option and buying a higher strike option. For a bear put spread, this would result in a debit or a cost, as a put option with a higher strike price should cost more than a put option with a lower strike price. The bear put spread involves paying more for an expensive option and selling a less expensive option. At expiration, there are actually the following potential scenarios.
Okay.
First, if a stock is higher than both the strike prices, then both put options are out of the money at expiration. As this spread was created at a cost or a debit and the options are worthless at expiration, the loss on the trade would be the cost of the spread. For instance, sticking with those 40 and 45 strikes again from last week, if a 45 strike put is purchased for $6 and a 40 put is sold for $3, the trade would cost $3. Above 45, this would result in a loss incurred by the trade of that $3 premium paid to put the spread on. The stock between the two strike prices is another potential scenario. In this range of prices, the higher strike put would be in the money and the lower strike put would be out of the money. With this spread, we are long the in-the-money option, so any value at expiration is a benefit to us. Considering the spread costing $3, then the option needs to be $3 in the money for us to realize a profit on this trade. With a 45-strike put, this would result in a break-even price for the trade of $42, subtracting the $3 premium from the higher strike price of $45. On vertical spreads, the break-even is between the two strike prices, and with this spread to figure out, you subtract that cost from that higher strike price.
Pretty straightforward scenarios. Now, how about if both options are in the money?
In the money? If both options are in the money, in this case, both options would be, or the stock would be under 40 at expiration, both options would be in the money. However, the higher strike put option would be worth $5 more than the lower strike put option. Since we're long the option that has more value, we would actually have a profit on this trade. The spread would be worth $5, and we'd paid $3 to get in this spread. Trade would be a $2 profit.
Very good. Again, a lot of information, three scenarios for investors to just kind of wrap their hands around. It is pretty straightforward stuff. It's that difference between the strike prices.
Absolutely. The risk and reward's known if you hold through expiration when you put the trade on.
Now, Bill, how about a bear call spread?
Joe, for a bear call spread, the investor purchases a higher strike call and sells the lower strike call. Since we are selling the more valuable contract, we will generate a credit in this trade. An investor might use a bear spread if they anticipate a decline in the stock price. Be aware that a bear call spread must be done in a margin account. The minimum margin requirement is the difference in strike prices less the credit received. Margin requirements seek to measure the amount of risk that a trader has taken on. Of particular note, for a bear call spread, the margin requirement represents the maximum risk associated with the position. Since the vertical bear call spread involves selling a lower, more valuable strike price, the spread trader will want to be familiar with the dividend schedule for the company in question. One way to eliminate or reduce assignment risk associated with a dividend play is to use this strategy with companies that pay little or no dividends.
That's an important detail. I'm glad you mentioned the dividend aspect. Now, Bill, how about implied volatility? How does that play into bear and bull spreads?
Well, Joe, implied volatility can be a factor in your decision process when choosing which strike prices to trade, but in buying one series and selling another, there is a significant reduction in the volatility risk of the strategy. Overall, changes in volatility are not overly important in this strategy.
Good to know. And, you know, I guess it gets back to the core concept of spreads. You're buying one side, selling another, so there is some risk management there.
Absolutely.
Now, Russell, can you talk to us a little bit more about the risks and benefits of using these types of vertical spreads?
Absolutely. What I find most investors like about a vertical spread, both bullish or bearish in nature, is that they know what the risk and reward of the trade is when it's initiated. This holds true for many types of option trades, but is easily understood when applied to a vertical spread. Also, it's possible to initiate a vertical spread when the underlying stock is at a price where the vertical spread would be profitable if the stock's at that same price at option expiration. A stock or a market may move in three directions, up, down, or not at all. It is possible to put on one of these trades that benefits from up or down in addition to a flat stock price.
And how does early exercise and assignment impact these bull and bear spreads? Bill?
Joe, equity option spread traders need to be aware of the corporate schedule for the underlying security. When, if ever, do they pay their ordinary dividends? When do they announce their earnings? If the sell side of the spread is in the money, the spread trader needs to know that their assignment risk increases. It is very common for in-the-money call options to be exercised just before the ex-dividend date. When this happens, the assigned spread trader is obligated to deliver 100 shares of stock and the dividend. Please note that the stock we've used in our examples does not pay dividends. Of course, it's possible that that could change in the future.
Russell, anything to add?
Sure. Early exercise is often attributed to a stock that's paying a dividend, but there can be a surprise related to the assignment on a short option. For instance, I recently encountered an option trader that was assigned on the short call associated with a vertical spread. This assignment was due to a dividend being paid by the underlying, and the result was a short position in the underlying stock, along with still having a long call position. To just exit the trader chose to exercise his long call the day after ex-dividend to buy the shares back and cover his short. I'm sure the person assigned on the other side of this exercise was a bit surprised at being assigned after the dividend instead of before.
I'm sure he was, but, you know, things like that do happen. Now, great information, you know, to our listeners, Bill and Russell, and I want to thank you for coming back to finish out this topic. Russell's one of our OIC instructors, so keep an eye out for him coming to its sound in a city near you. And if you ever want to speak to Bill or any of our knowledgeable staff, reach out to us through OIC's help desk at 1-888-OPTIONS. We also have a lot of tools and resources for you to check out at our website, www.optionseducation.org, and please let us know how we are doing. Email me at options@theocc.com with your feedback or suggestions for upcoming shows. And don't forget the social links we provide at the beginning of our show, so you can join us at LinkedIn, become a fan on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and remember, a little options education goes a long way.